This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
It is game week. Welcome into the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza. I'm Jessica Coody, and we have tracked down Jeremiah Searles because it is now time to talk football games, and he is pumped. We've had people asking about you, Searles, so I'm glad we were able to track you down, and now we're back to the weekly appearances, right?
Absolutely. Back to our regularly scheduled programming for the fall here. It is officially game week. The weather has started kind of turning. This weekend was terrible. But, you know, it's finally starting to get a little cooler. You're going to get a little going. I had my member at Firethorn last weekend, so now the golf clubs go away. The shotgun and the bow come out. It's kind of officially fall season, right? The kickoff of the college football, for me, marks the end of summer, right? Summer has officially ended. Fall football is officially here. It is officially the best season of the year.
Well, you know, it's crazy. This is my fourth season here and my first home game as a season opener. And so it's been a minute. But as a player, take us through that mindset, how different it is to be able to open up at home as opposed to on the road.
No, yeah. I mean, it's night and day different. I mean, you have your comfortability factor when you're at home. Right. It's just like when you go over to someone's house. So when you go to someone else's house for dinner, right, you're kind of walking in like, where do I put my shoes? Do I wear shoes in the house? Like, do I hang my coat here? Do I need a sweater? Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold inside? What are we eating? Right. Like, you're just so much of the unknown of like, well, how do I act? Are they laughy people? Or are they not? Right. Versus when you're in your own home, you're like, come on in. Everyone hang out. This is where we sit. This is what we do. You just feel so much more relaxed. And that's what it's like to open up at home, because you're going to have the anxiety and the jitters of just the opener. Right, it's just the first game. We've been working so hard for this and going for it that the more comfortable you can be in your environment, the less factors there are that could throw you off your game or be a distraction or any type of thing that pulls away from trying to keep the main thing, which is executing a football game.
So take us through the game prep for a team like UTEP. Got a new coaching staff. They have, still, as of today, we're taping on Tuesday, have not named the starting quarterback. You know, how do you go about preparing for this opponent and getting ready for this matchup?
It's so hard. And I feel like we talk about this every year with the week one stuff is such a difficult thing to game plan for, because you know that you have other wrinkles that you're going to throw at them. You know that they have other wrinkles that you're not going to see. And so how do you prepare? How do you game plan? And I think the simplest thing is you just have to be very confident in your offense and your defensive base schemes that you're like, we don't care what they put out there. We're going to run what we're going to run, and then we'll adjust on the fly if we need to. And that's where I think Rhule and Tony White and Sat and all those guys are going to look around and just be like, you know, let's just be us. Let's just be what we are. Let's just go out there and be physical. Let's run the things that we've run well in camp. Let's put ourselves in good positions. Let's execute the football game well, and let's let talent try and take over this game a little bit more. And that's what you have to really rely on the openers, because if you start trying to, as I call it, chase ghosts, right, and starts going, okay, we think they might do that, but they may do this, you can just really start overthinking it and really starting to get yourself in a bad position versus just saying, you know, UTEP's going to do what they're going to do. Let's put 100% focus on this Nebraska football team and how we're going to execute our game plan.
Well, since we've chatted, there is a new starting quarterback for the Huskers, and it's Dylan Raiola. No surprise there, but we heard Coach talk during his game week presser on Monday. He's going to turn him loose. He's going to let him go. He's not going to hold him back, not going to approach it any differently. That's got to be exciting for you and as an offense that, hey, he might be a true freshman, but we're going to let him do his thing, and we're going to let him go.
Yeah, you have to. You know, you can't put the true freshman out there and then try and control him, right? If he outright won the job and did everything he needed to do in camp, let him go do what he's done all camp and trust him, right? He may be the best arm talent that Nebraska's had in the last 20 years, right? Just a natural arm talent. I mean, I'm talking about the way he can zip the ball, the way the ball comes off his hand, right? All that stuff is just God-given incredible for him. I'm really excited to see what he can do now in executing the game plan. Right. We saw it in high school. We saw what he can do. But can he just take that seamless step and be great and walk into it and just roll with the game plan and execute at a high level on the college football side? Or is there going to be some growing pains? And listen, I think there's going to be some growing pains. That's just nature of the position. I do think, though, that he gives us the best chance to win. You know, he gives us a great chance to throw the ball down the field, to make things happen with his legs and all those things. I'm so excited for him and the era and, you know, the buzz at which he has created around this university nationally. And for him to have a chance to go out, get his feet wet here at home against UTEP and get him gears up for what's going to be a completely different environment in week 2 against Colorado, this is going to be a great way of him just to kind of ease his feet in.
So there's, as we've come to find, there's a lot of weapons that they've brought in or that have come back that are around Dylan. So you've been a part of some explosive offenses that had multiple playmakers. Take us through just what that looks like right now going into week 1, how you're going about figuring out who we're going to go to, and then how that might evolve as we proceed along throughout a season.
Yeah, the number one thing for me is we have to establish the run. As great as a quarterback is, and I love my quarterbacks, if you can't run the football, you're putting them at a disadvantage. All the great quarterbacks at any level rely on a very good run game because you got to get those safeties cheating in the box. You got to get those corners getting caught with their eyes in the backfield. You have to have the D linemen think that they're going to be getting run block, and all of a sudden it's a pass protection, and then they're half a second late, and that half a second's the difference between a 50-yard touchdown and a sack fumble. Right? All of it plays into each other, you know. So the number one thing I'm looking at is, you know, Ramir Johnson, Emma Johnson, Gabe Irvin, Dante Battle. Like, those guys, I feel really comfortable out of running back room. I think there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football in that room, and you want to feed those horses and say, all right, who's going to come out here and just pound the rock? And we're going to have a little bit of flash with Emmett and then a little bit of power with Gabe and flipping everyone in because, you know, everyone in that room's kind of been dinged up at times. So let's make sure that we're giving them all equal carries in the beginning part of the year so we can keep everyone fresh. That's where it's all going to start. And then once you can establish that run game and really get things going on the ground, that's when you can cut guys like Jalen Lloyd and Isaiah Nair and those guys and Malachi Coleman and send them deep, right? Test them deep, right? I think we're going to see run, test deep very quickly, right? Let's see Rayola crush this thing and throw it down deep and have the crowd going nuts and, you know, put it on tape that we're not afraid to throw it over the top of your heads. And that's, for me, how I would look at this offense. Okay, they're going to try and run the football and then go deep over our heads initially, and then from there they'll dial it back in more the intermediate pass game, more the outside zone scheme type stuff. So I'm so excited to see what this new offense looks like, but I guarantee you, with the way Matt Rhule runs his program and those things, there will be an emphasis on the run game.
So give us your take on just, you just mentioned it, the or at running back and just the options that are in that room. Is it concerning at all that there's not more separation, or is that, could that be a big-time luxury for this offense that you do have those different guys that you can go on? And as we've seen every year, you need multiple running backs.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing that they're all really close. You know, obviously you would like one guy to really show that he pulled ahead of the other guys in the race, but it means that they're probably all very close in skill set. They're all very close and detailed, and, you know, no one fell behind, right? I think that's a big piece. Everyone always goes, well, why didn't no one separate out in the front? It's like, well, maybe no one fell behind. Maybe everyone was playing at a very high level all through camp, and that's not a bad thing, because I cannot think of a running back at Nebraska, and if someone does, please tell me wrong, in the last 5 to 10 years that has started week 1 and not been dinged before the end of the year. It's just, it's a tough position. You get beat up. Right, you're getting hammered every single play by linebackers and D linemen, and there's piles and all that stuff. It's just a physical position. So if you can have multiple guys that you trust at that spot and you can rotate those guys in and keep everyone fresh, that's going to pay huge dividends for us come October, November.
Okay, so we heard Coach Rhule talking about this also in his press conference on Monday about, in terms of the running back, we block for 4, we need to get more. So we need to turn that into 12 or 80 or whatever that may be. Take us through that and how that looks for an offense and what job that is in a running back to be able, hey, when your O-line is blocking for 4, how you make more out of that.
Yeah, you know, when I was in the NFL, we used to grade our runs on efficiency, right? An efficient run in an offensive line coach and an offensive lineman's mind is 4 yards, right? That means that you took care of the defensive linemen, you got up to the second level on the linebackers, and then from there, the running back got 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and that was an efficient run. You're setting yourself up for 2nd and 10, or 2nd and 6, or, you know, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, you know, that realm of efficiency. The great backs can take a 4-yard run and turn it into 10 or turn it into 12 by making the first guy miss or by pressing the hole long enough to make that backside cut. And those are the really special backs. Those are the Amir Abdullahs. Those are the Rex Burkheads. You know, those are what we saw like Divine Ozigbo do so much back here in the day too. And that's where backs can make their money. You know, as an offensive line, we only can block so many guys for so long, and tight ends and all that. Eventually the corner, or eventually the safety or the outside backer that's going to be cut free in the run scheme is going to be there to make the tackle. If you can be special, you make that guy miss. You run over him, right? You make him hesitate in the hole and then power through. And now you're looking at 8-yard gains, and then you're making the second guy miss, and now we're talking about a 30, 40-yard run. Those type of things come with special backs. But I think it can sometimes get backwards where, man, why aren't they making the big plays? If you can't consistently get the 4 yards, right? If you're not on a consistent 4-yard gain with every run, you start trying to press the big runs. You start trying to force the big runs, right? Oh, man, we're not getting the runs. I got to bounce this quicker, or I got to hit this hole on the backside quicker. I'm not setting it up enough. I got to do more as a back. Versus if you can trust your O-line that I'm going to get 4 yards every single time because of the push that you guys generated, then I'm going to be able to create after that. That's when you start seeing the really explosive run game start to come out.
Great breakdown there. So I just have one more question on the offense and to the offensive line. And I think we know enough about the starting group, and we'll be able to break down their first game performance. But I more so wanted to hit on those backups. You know, we saw the depth chart, and if you look at the two deep, there's a lot of young guns that are backing up those starters. So when you go into week one here, how nice would it be to be able to get those guys some live game type reps and see what they can do in a real game type situation in front of the crowd?
Yeah, that's, I hate saying it's critical, but it almost is. You know, you look at this too deep, and I just pulled it up in front of me here. You know, you start talking about you have Grant there at the backup left tackle, you have Gunner there at the backup right tackle, Tyler Gnack at the center at the right guard spot. You know, Henry Lutowski is the only person that is not a starter in this too deep that has like legit playing experience.
And he's hurt, by the way. He might not play much this week.
Right. You know, and so you look at our too deep and you're going, none of these guys have really played big-time college football ever, right? And so we're going to need these guys at one point this year. Just like I said about the running backs, very rarely, if ever, do the starting five start all 12 games. It's just not realistic. It's just a pile into an ankle or a shoulder or a concussion. You know, thinking five guys is going to roll out there weeks 1 through 12, it's just not realistic. So we're going to need one of these young guys, if not multiple of these young guys, at a critical part in this season. And so getting them a chance to get into a game week one and get that first game under their belt, the live bullets, the live action, the understanding of the timing of the play clock's a real thing, the crowd noise is a real thing, even when you're at home, how to handle that, how to get the plays in and out of the huddle, the communication up front. Like, you can't mimic that kind of stuff in practice. It's just impossible. It's only ways that you can get it is when the live bullets and the live lights and the live repercussions, if you mess up, are on, right? In practice, you screw something up as a young guy, the guy runs by the red jersey, he screams sack and he dances, and you sit there and you shake your head and you're like, oh shoot, I can't do that again, right? You do that in a game and you're picking your quarterback up off the ground as he's pulling grass out of his face. There's a whole different realm of consequences that comes with that. And we need to get these young guys in, if possible, in some of these younger, earlier games, like the Northern Iowa game, this game. You know, I don't want to say the CU game because I don't think that's going to be one where we're like, oh, we can just beat up on them and put our young guys in. You know, but you look at UTEP and Northern Iowa, those two games are games that young players across the board have to get in and get this playing experience so that when we need to call on them on week 8 and call on them on week 9, that's not the first time they've stepped onto a football field.
Valentino's, treasured Italian family recipes passed down for generations. Valentino's has become Nebraska's classic Italian tradition and proudly served in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.
Okay, let's talk defense. You're number two with Tony White and this defensive staff. And this time a year ago, there wasn't film out. You know, people were pulling Syracuse film and whatnot. But now that there is film and you can go back and look at a season of this defense and with so many returners, how does schematically and for what Tony White wants to do with this defense, how does he take it up even another notch being that the film's out now with a whole season here at Nebraska?
I mean, even with the entire season of last year's film being out, if I'm an offensive coordinator and I watch all of Nebraska's 2023 tape, I still don't know where I start. I still don't know where I'm like, yeah, let's start with that as our base game plan going into this, you know, because every week it looked different. Every week there was a flavor of the week blitz. You know, every single week the guys were lining up in different spots. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, who's that guy? He didn't play the last 3 weeks and now he's playing 40 snaps this week, right? There's just so much creativity in this Tony White defense that as an offensive coordinator, you kind of can't start and say, we think it's going to be this or we think it's going to be that, because you just don't know. It's incredible. And I thought Tony White did such a great job of that last year. And I'm so excited to see this year where now he has all of his base installed. Now he can really start dialing up the looks and the disguises and the pressures and the moving guys around and shifts and all that kind of stuff, because his guys truly understand it. And he didn't have a ton of turnover from a lot of spots, right? You lose your two inside guys, which is big, you know, but you talk about your front line there. I mean, a year ago right now, you and I were sitting here going, I don't know what this defensive line is going to look like. Are they going to be good? Are they going to be bad? We have no idea. And now you're going, this defensive line is going to be pretty freaking good, right? And so excitement is there on the front end, where if you can be dominant on the front end, it allows you to do some really fun stuff in the back end.
So what, I guess, starting out here, you know, in week one, we talked about the offense and they're going to turn them loose, it sounds like. But for the defense, is there a bit of holdback? Is there, what will you be looking for out of this defense here out of the gate to start the tone in the season?
Yeah, you know, the thing I would love to see is to get pressure on the quarterback without having to send exotic blitzes. Right? Can guys like Ty Robinson and Nash and Jamari Butler and Cam Lenhart, like, can those guys get to the quarterback and win their one-on-ones without having to send a safety or a corner or a linebacker? Because that's when you can really take the next step as a defense, is when there comes a time when you don't want to blitz. You want to play coverage. You've got really good athletes on the outside. It's third and medium. You don't want to force them to throw hot. You want to just play coverage and let your front seven or want your front four go win, right? Hey, you guys, go beat the guy in front of you. And I would love to see more of that this year. There was flashes of it last year, right? There was times where Cam Lenhart was cooking. Jamari Butler would line up in the three technique and was cooking guys. But then there was times where we didn't blitz and it felt like the quarterback was just hanging out back there in his pocket and making his reads and didn't have any pressure on him. So I'd love to see that be the element this year, especially early in this year, of D linemen winning their one-on-one matchups against the offensive linemen and putting pressure on the quarterback. And then when we really time need a blitz and need a big stop, that's when Tony White can turn it up and go after it, because that's what we're going to need this year playing against Big Ten opponents, is just dominant defensive lineman play.
So how do those guys take that step then? I mean, it'd be easy to say, hey, you win your one-on-one battle, it's a want-to, but you know, with the talent and some of these guys that you're talking about, how does it get to that point where they are consistently winning those one-on-one battles?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it last year, you know, I look at guys like Kai Wallen and Riley Van Poppel and Elijah Judy and Cam Lenhart, like, they were just rushing off pure athleticism, right? When you're a young player and you got there in June and you're playing games in September, you didn't have a ton of technical development time. You didn't have a ton of weight room time. You just had, hey, I'm big and I'm strong and I'm just going to try and run and win some reps. But now you're talking about another full calendar year in this system, in this weight training program. You know, Terrence Knighton's working with you through the winter time, into spring ball, through the summer, into training camp, sharpening different tools, whether it's a spin move or a pull move or different pass rush moves or using your hands with better technique or having better eye discipline. You know, all those little things play into winning that one-on-one matchup. You know, I call it the game within the game. Right, I look at it from an offensive lineman standpoint. Right, you have the big game going on around you, but I have my own one-on-one game going on with my defensive lineman. Right, and every single rep is a mini game, and if I can win more of those mini games than he does, then I'm gonna hopefully our team wins the big game. Right, but every single snap is a different type of game. Is it a run play? Is it a pass play? Right? Is he playing me? Am I playing him? Does he feel like he has a beat on me? Do I feel like I know what he's going to do? And you start getting that. And when your defensive lineman gets a beat on an O lineman and feels like he has a good read on, hey, I know this guy's set. I know what he's going to do. I know the situation that we're in. I'm going to get to this pass rush mover. I'm going to get to this technique and make him open. And then I'm going to come back underneath. And you take that jump as a mental level. And then you turn it into using your physical tools. That's how you become a better one-on-one pass or pass rusher. That's how you become a better one-on-one offensive lineman, one-on-one defensive lineman, right? When you can take the mental game, the mental exercise of, hey, I know what's going to happen. I've set this guy up for this all game. Now I can go execute, and boom, you go get that sack. That's how you become the dominant player in a one-on-one situation.
Great stuff there. Okay, so let's just quickly hit on the secondary, and there's a lot of names. We've heard a lot of, over the last few years, of Marquise Buford, Malcolm Hartsock. Your boy Deshaun Singleton is back and sounds like better than ever. Tommy Hill. But what will you be looking for, you know, with some of the injuries and Bly Hill coming back off of that injury? Just moving some guys around back there. And then Coach Butler, that you're very familiar with. What will you be looking for out of the secondary here in game number one before they're going to have a very tough task in week number two with Colorado?
Yeah, you know, knowing Coach Butler, knowing and remembering how he used to coach guys like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White, he's going to tell them to go get that football when it's up in the air, right? He's big, and I can remember that when the ball's in the air, it's ours. Right, I think we're going to see a very attacking style from our corners and our safeties of playing press coverage up in their face, forcing tight window throws, and then when the ball's in the air, make a contested catch or go get the ball. Right, make that receiver earn it. Don't leave open space. Don't leave an easy cushion and third and eight and you're playing 11 yards off. Right, that's the kind of detail stuff that I remember seeing from Coach Butler. And I'm really excited to see him bring that to this Blackshirt defense, that just ball hawk mentality. And then also from our safeties, you know, Tony White talks about cutting loose all the time, but man, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and that crew that I used to play with, those dudes were headhunters. Like they, if you came across the middle, Godspeed, my friend, right? Like they're going to try and take you out, and they're going to make you think twice about going over the middle again. Hey, quarterback, you throw your receiver over the middle again, like we're gonna light this dude up over and over again, so think about it next time, right? And that's the type of mentality that he instilled in those Buffalo DBs. And you know, talking about Singleton and Tommy Hill and guys that have played some serious football for us, you know, I think that's gonna excite them, right? That's gonna excite them to cut them loose and go be free and go make plays, right? Just like receivers make plays, DBs gotta go make plays, because if there's one thing we need more of this year out of this Blackshirt teams, it's turnovers. Right, we got to create more opportunities for our offense than we have in the past.
You know, and on that note, I know that's a big key and probably will be one of your keys every week. It was last year, especially when some of those turnovers were causing football games. But how much is that momentum when you know, if you want to, you talk about some of those goals that they have, the 40 sacks, the 20 20 takeaways, and then protecting the football. How much of it is setting the tone here and then building off of it starting in week number one and throughout the course of a season?
Yeah, you want to be known as a ball-hawking defense, right? You want to be known that when the scouting report comes out on Monday or Tuesday for the opponent and they say, hey, this Nebraska football team has taken the ball away 7 times and only given it away once, right? That immediately puts you on alert of like, man, these dudes are coming after the football. right? Versus the other way of, hey, this Nebraska football team's given the ball away seven times and they only have one turnover. Well, then you're thinking, well, let's go attack these dudes, right? It's a mentality thing. And you want to be a ball-hawking defense as much as you want to be a ball-protecting offense. And the percentages are just insane on if you have, like, three or more turnovers a game, your percentage of winning the game is, like, 11%, right? Turnovers are the number one predictor of a winning percentage than any other factor in a game. And so you have to have those type of plays of the turnover stuff. And what leads to turnovers, right? Well, it's QB pressures, right? With sacks and with QB hits, right? Which also then leads to hurried throws, which then also leads to batted balls, right? Those are the type of things that you have to force the turnover, right? Force the bad ball, force the bad decision. They're not just going to give them to you. Right, they're not just going to give them to you unless Jeff Sims was here. But they're not just going to give them to you, you know. But I think that you have to just make sure as a defense you're constantly looking for the opportunity to take the ball away, because with a young quarterback, the more opportunities that you can give the football to him, the better he's going to have a chance to go out there and just keep getting better and better with every single series.
One quick note on the special teams before we'll get your keys and players to watch, but still no starting kicker either. Tristan Alvano has not won that job yet. He had the injury, came back from it, but that's still a battle too. Is that concerning that the kicker has not been named this week?
Always. I mean, it's always a concern. You know, kickers can be, they're such weapons. You know, points are always a premium, especially as you get later into the season and 40-yard field goals become very important. Extra points become very important. And so you would love to have that spot just be pretty solidified and be like, hey, that's our guy. You go in the corner, you do your thing, and then you kick it through the little uprights and the yellow thing, right? And then I don't want to hear from you again, right? Like, that's what you want out of your kicker versus the question marks of, like, who's going to do it? Who's got the leg? Is he healthy? What's going on, right? Because you just want to have confidence in that kicker when he walks out on the field. And you want everyone to have confidence in that kicker, because if everyone has confidence in the kicker, then the kicker has confidence, right? Versus everyone else is kind of like, oh, shoot, who's coming out here? And then the kicker's like, oh, I better make this or I'm going to lose my job. Like, it's just... It's a factor, and I wish it wasn't, but it's part of where we're at. So I would love for him to – I'd love for Alvano to get healthy and, you know, be the guy and go out there. But if he's not, then we're going to need someone else to step up.
Okay, besides the kicking game, what other areas will you be looking for that you need to see out of the special teams, especially here in week number one?
I would love to see our punt return game take a step. I mean, we were not good last year. It was just the truth. We didn't have explosive punt returns. We didn't field the ball correctly at times. We're catching it on the 3-yard line, and we're not fair catching it when we should, and we're taking hits and turnovers and all the stuff. Our punt return game needs to be a weapon. We need to put pressure on the opposing punt team that we can take it to it. And so I'd love to see a couple big returns, maybe put a couple returners back there giving themselves a chance to see who can be the guy to make a 10 or a 15-yard return or make an explosive return or take one back for a touchdown this year. But our return game, especially in the punt return game, needs to be leaps and bounds better this year than it was last year.
Okay, as we always do, we close it out with your keys and your players to watch. So let's start with your three big keys for this one in the opener against UTEP.
Yeah, the one number one key is no unforced execution penalties, right? No 12 men on the field, no delay of games, no having to take a timeout because we're in the first quarter coming out of a kickoff and we don't have the play call in and we're going to get a delay game penalty. Like, those type of execution errors can't happen in the opener. You have to be detail-oriented, right? You can't have 10 guys on your punt team because the other guy didn't run out there, right? Like, those are the type of things that show that you're a detail-oriented football team. So that's going to be my number one key, right? No unforced errors, no unforced penalties, right? My second key is going to be win the turnover battle, right? Take the football away from this UTEP football team. Find a way to get to the quarterback. Find a way, if the ball's in the air, go get it. Find a way to block a punt, right? Do something to force the turnover here with this UTEP team. And then from the other side, hey, young QB, take care of the football. Ball security is job security. Hey, four running backs. You want the quickest way to be at the bottom of this depth chart? Go fumble the football, right? Everybody who holds the football has the whole entire team in their hand, right? You carry the ball, you carry the team. And so holding on to the football, because you look back historically at some of our openers, it's been pretty bad on the turnover front, right? Let's get through this game with zero turnovers. I'd love to have zero turnovers from our offense on this game, and then also make sure maybe we have one or two on the other side. And then the third piece, run the football. Run the football. Run the football. I want 200 yards rushing. Right? I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's four different guys. I don't care if it's two different guys. I want 200 yards rushing in this game. Right? Show the Big Ten, show the world that we're a physical, downhill, run the ball football team. Right? So those are the three big keys for me this week. You know, just want to see good execution, take care of the football, and then pound the rock.
It wouldn't be a podcast with Searles if he didn't mention run the dang football.
The damn football, Jessica. Run the damn football.
Okay, players to watch, probably pretty obvious on the offensive. You going with QB?
I'm going to go with the QB. You have to. You have to go with the QB, right? Young kid out there, tons of hype, really excited for him. You know, but the other player I want to watch is Turner Corcoran. You know, we lose Teddy Prochazka for the year. Turner was not penciled in to be a starter. You know, he's going to have to step up and go play left tackle for us. You know, and I want to see, does he take some jumps this year in his offseason and be better? You know, we know he needs to play better. He knows he needs to play better. So let's see how he comes out there. And then also Micah Mazzucca, right? Hey, buddy, don't be fist fighting no one, but bring that dog mentality, right? I think he's huge. He's big. He had a great press conference. I want him to be the attitude trendsetter on that offensive line. You know, and then on the defensive line, Jamari Butler, I mean, you talk about a guy that flashed so much last year, and then you look at, hey, he won a single digit this year, which means he'd got the teammates, the coaches. He is such an athletically gifted young man. I would love to see him take his game to a next level and be a Randy Gregory type, you know, a guy that can just be a game wrecker on that defensive front. So I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Great stuff, my friend. You're in mid-season form. Can't wait to see your energy next week. You're going to be fired up for the pod next week.
Colorado Hate Week can't come soon enough. So very excited for the season to be back. Excited for the Rayola era to start. Excited for year two of Matt Rhule to start. And you and Greg have a great call.
And by the way, you're going to be back on Sports Nightly this year doing picks with us every week.
We're back.
You're feeling pretty good after your golf picks this summer that you think it's going to set you up for football picks.
We set the trend. We are on the right direction. I'm taking that crown right off your head, Jessica.
Oh, great stuff as always. We'll be back next week like we do every single week throughout the football season with the Sideline Slice with Searles, as always presented by our great friends at Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. Thanks for listening and watching.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 65 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers.